America after all the presidents in the Dharma. Today is the 16th October 2022, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the 75th lessons of the Six Pages, Blackbaud Sutta. We are on page 24. Okay. So as usual, we'll have our puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhana, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Bhushyam Bhushyam. Namo Bhushyam Bhushyam. Namo Bhushyam Bhushyam. Namo Di Chang Wang Bhushyam. Namo Di Chang Wang Bhushyam. Namo Di Chang Wang Bhushyam. Namo Pho Bhushyam. Namo Pho Bhushyam. Namo Pho Bhushyam. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Swaggato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ namassami. Supadipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā Vīrabhaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādānā Vīrabhaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Mussāvādā Vīrabhaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya Majjhāpamādattānā Vīrabhaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ Samādhiyāmi. Sādhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Bhajan. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, can we sit down? We will do the invocation to the devas, turn to page 6 of the Chanting Book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dintis or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atthagacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhas. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhas. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhas. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkheneyo Anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can be seated and you continue from where we start. Turn to page 24 of this book. The 75th lesson of the Six Patriarch back of Sutta Transcript Book, 3.2.2. The title is How to Transcend Duality. So there was a question by Sister Adeline. Sister Adeline asked, Bertio, how to cultivate, to overcome, or transcend duality? Is that the middle way? If we are on the middle way, Can we overcome this problem of duality? So that was the question. Huh? Then I replied, I said, I will explain that. Then I asked, do you have any other particular questions? Or is that your only question? Then he replied, I said, yes, that's my only question. Thank you. Then I said, you all should rejoice with another good question, because this one can create a lot of condition for the teaching to be expanded. Yeah, this type of teaching regarding duality is seldom taught. You heard about it, but it's seldom taught. You see, the question is, how can we overcome duality? So that is a question. So to overcome or transcend duality, one has to develop the understanding of what duality is first, as I've explained before. That is, duality is to be understood. But maybe this time, because of the condition that is arising, it can allow you all to have the clearer understanding of what this duality is. So this duality normally pertains to what? Yes, very good. It pertains to the mundane living or the mundane mind. The reason being, because this mundane mind can create realities through words or via words, concept and ideas. Do you understand? The reason being, the mundane mind is part of the conditioned world. So this duality will always exist within the conditioned world, the existential world. Can you follow? So this is the understanding that one has to establish, yeah? Because we actually live in the conditioned world of duality. Duality means both sides of the coin. So here I repeat again, I say duality pertains to the mundane mind, existential world, because duality is the mundane mind creation, and it exists within the conditioned world. This duality will always exist as long as we live in the conditioned world or the existential world. This is because to live life, you must use the mundane mind or the thought process. Then, hence, it must arise. So this duality, which pertains to the conditioned world, is to be understood. Yeah. So the reason for it arising is because it's always created by the mundane mind. That is why this one exists, and it also has coming implication, because the mundane mind is subject to karma. So only understanding frees your mind, not how to meditate to overcome duality. You meditate to realize wisdom. The moment you have wisdom, you would have the understanding. And this understanding is the one that liberates your mind, because you are no longer deluded anymore after that. So you don't have to fight duality or resist duality, just like the mental hindrance. You don't have to fight them or suppress them or control them or do away with them. You don't have to do that. It's just like every time you see something, you recall based on memory, which is a knowledge. You recall by saying, but you said no duality. And then you try to practice the middle way. This is not the way to cultivate. The middle way is Noble Eightfold Path, because the Buddha said he teaches the middle way. And there are two very deep meanings to it. The first one is to avoid all extremes. Means to avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. So this is the first aspect of duality, avoiding the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. You already have this understanding of the first meaning because this is very simple. That's why those who go by the delusion way, they go and mortify themselves, thinking that after they have mortified their body long enough, all their bad karma will be cleared. And when they have no more bad karma, they think they will become enlightened. This is Sakyatiti, wrong view. Enlightenment has nothing to do with whether you have good or bad karma, or whether you have exhausted all your bad karma or not. Enlightenment is about awakening. So that is the one aspect. So that is the first aspect of the middle way. That's why the Buddha say avoid the two extremes. We are following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the middle way. A deeper meaning of the middle way, which is not explained in the sutta, is to transcend this duality. And this is the second meaning or aspect of the middle path or middle way. To transcend duality, you must have wisdom. That's why I always teach you all the understanding that comes from my nature's realization, so that you don't have to waste time to find it out for yourself. I always share with you all, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Things is just the way it is. The Buddha also said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And when conditions are such, things will be such. Cannot be otherwise. So whatever happened within the conditioned world, you have to accept first. Acceptance means no more duality via reaction of mind. Means you no longer create the duality of right and wrong. Because he is just the way he is. He will behave the way he is because of his conditioning, his view, his opinion, and everything he holds on to is like that. Condition like that, things will be like that. That is the wisdom part. So to transcend duality, you need enlightenment or wisdom. What is the Noble Eightfold Path? It's the path that leads to enlightenment, leading to the end of all suffering. That's why the moment you are enlightened, this second aspect of the middle way, you will understand. The reason you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path is for you to be truly enlightened, you need to have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. If you look at the Noble Eightfold Path factor, each and every one of them is related to living life. Can you remember what I had always explained to you all? The first path factor is right view. Without right view, which is the first right path factor, you cannot understand life. And you cannot understand who are you and what are you. You must understand the secret of life, the five universal order of nature, especially so the three spiritual universal order of Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. All these are part of life. So when you have the right view, Then you can understand life. Then you will know how to live life. So all this is very straightforward. Eh? Unless you have right view, you cannot understand life. Then when you understand life, you will know how to live life. So this is a very easy approach to understanding. Yeah? You will understand what is right and what is wrong. Of course, it's still a duality, where this is still within the existential world. With right view, you cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And these are noble qualities. These are virtues of enlightened beings. You are a noble one. You are noble in all aspects of life. The way you communicate with people, the way you arise your speech, your actions, the way you live your life, the way you arise your thought process, they are all in accordance with the Dhamma. They are always wholesome, pure, right, no negativity. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is indeed the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil first. Then, to avoid, then how do we avoid all evil? This means clear away all the wrong view, straighten your view through your meditation, the direct seeing and awakening. Keep on straightening your views so that your wrong views, your rites and ritual, your belief system, your attachment, your craving, your clinging, thinking that this five aggregates of form and mind is real, thinking that everything is permanent and there is no way. Sorry, and there is no such thing as suffering when you are very rich and wealthy. So all these are delusion. That's it. No, the truth is the opposite. When you have all these views straightened, you will come to realize that this form and mind is not a permanent changing entity. It is not you. It's non-self. That's how wisdom comes to be. That's how this wisdom protects this form and mind from being deluded. So that right view alone is so powerful. It will condition right thought, even though it is never worthwhile to break the precepts and violate the law of karma. That's why you will automatically develop the ability to cultivate the right thought leading to the right speech and right action. And the right way to live your life, then you will constantly arise. The four right effort to purify your thought process. First is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. And then the second is to prevent them from arising. Then the third right effort is to cultivate whatever right thought, right speech, and right action on the right livelihood that are still not in you. Then, of course, the fourth or last right effort is to refine upon them and perfect them all. Then, of course, you will have to be heedful and mindful all the time. That's why sati and samadhi are always there, must be always there. All the Noble Eightfold Path factors are there. These are all related to life. That's why the enlightened being must have all this quality. This is also the reason why you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is also the reason why I always emphasize to you, whatever meditation you do in the name of meditation, if it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can claim to be enlightened, having fantastic meditative experience, etc. You can perform maybe psychic or magic. It is not important because that is not the enlightenment. But it is not the unconditioned All these teachings are very important because when you understand your transcendentality with wisdom, nothing else, the Noble Eightfold Path is his first teaching after his enlightenment when he met the five ascetics, as explained in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon proclaimed by the Buddha. The Buddha straight away advised that the two extremes of self-mortification and self-indulgence are to be avoided in his opening statement within the sutta. This is because he realized how they all went wrong. He himself also went wrong for almost 6 years. He was doing the self-mortification of his physical body. And despite him attaining to all the eight jhanas, and yet there was no enlightenment or awakening. That's why he knew. And he left his teachers. He also knew when he was in the palace. He was enjoying his life via sensual indulgence, which also cannot bring about enlightenment. That's why he decided to eat again. We are adopting the middle way to avoid these two extremes so that he can have a healthy body that can sustain his practice, his cultivation leading to the understanding. All this need to be understood. Then he had the understanding. Sorry. When he had the understanding, he meditated accordingly. And when he silenced his mind, he was able to connect back to his true nature. Then he managed to inherit his past perfection, the Sambhogayakaya, from his spiritual nature. And that's how he can combine with the Nimanakaya, his functional body. The word should be body, huh? Functional body. Sorry. To become the Dhammakaya, spelling mistake without the Y. The Dhamma body of the Sammasambuddha that can teach the Dhamma is called the Dhammakaya. So all this understanding are very important. We should thank Sister Adrienne for asking such a good question. Otherwise, there is no condition to explain all this to you all. But this part, just now I only talk about duality. Xiang Dui Fa. Xiang Dui Fa. Duality is very important. And duality is to be understood in wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot break free or break through. But this one comes on the mundane mind that created them through delusion. The reality is like what the Buddha said, suchness, tatata, or jnana, dasana, or direct knowledge and vision of the reality via the direct seeing, or via seeing things as they are. So when you can do that, there is no more duality because that is the truth. There is the reality, that is suchness, or the isness of things. That's why jnana dasana means the direct knowledge and vision of the truth or the reality. That's why you need to have this direct seeing, to see things as they are, not according to your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. But these are all from memory. And memory is knowledge of the past. But when you see with the direct seeing, with non-perception, without the mundane mind, all this doesn't exist. Can you remember? When you see the image, or the artwork, via the direct seeing, it's just a pure perception, like how the baby see, without the memory coming in. Do you understand? Just that thing as it is, the seeing consciousness. That's why the Buddha say in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness and there is no one to see. There is nothing to label that thing. Because it is before the knowing, before the perception, before the words, before the concept. That is the direct seeing. Now can you understand? This is what you need, nothing else. And this is a secret for understanding the Buddha Dharma all this year. I've been trying to share only this, nothing else. Everywhere I teach, I've been repeating this understanding. But today is very good because there are causes and conditions for this overall teaching to come about again. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We move on there. Then the next section is 3.2.3. The subheading is the four number two, mundane and super mundane cultivation. Okay, so this is a second question by Sister Amy. This Sister Amy said, can I ask one more question? The Noble Eightfold Path is the middle way, and yet it still has duality. Right view, right thought, wrong thought. Right speech, wrong speech, etc. So to transcend duality, I remember on last Tuesday class, where Theo said the Noble Eightfold Path is the mundane cultivation leading to supramundane. I would like to ask Brother Theo how to transcend this pair of duality contained within the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay. This is a very good question to sadhu. Looks like it is all meant to be. Today's condition and sharing will complete everything that you need to know regarding the cultivation. Do you remember one of the short notes? I think it's in the Tuesday class. I said first noble truth and second noble truth. They are mundane noble truths. When the Buddha expounded the essence, the essence of his teaching, which is the four noble truths, I already said since the year 1971 when I first read about it, I already knew nobody can proclaim that type of truth unless he is a Sammāsambuddha. Even my nature at that time said, if I were to have this type of enlightenment, this type of wisdom and realization, I also cannot summarize all of this teaching into just four noble truths in such a simple way. This Noble Eightfold Path is so complete that it can explain to us all of life, the complete mundane and super mundane understanding or aspect of life. That's why I use the word the secret of life. So which part is mundane and which part is super mundane? The first noble truth talks about the reality of life and existence, about the noble truth of dukkha, the noble truth that explain to us the realities of life and existence. He said, suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering. If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding of his teaching, this is a noble truth that can explain to us the prevalence of suffering in this existential world of ours. There are a condition or realities in life and existence that will lead to suffering when you confront them without understanding. That is the first noble truth. And the Buddha never said life is suffering. In the second noble truth, he said, whatever that happened, whatever that condition, suffering, there are causes and conditions behind, and that cause is basically craving, born of self-delusion. Because of self-delusion, you think you exist, and because of that, you attach, you cling, you grasp, and you hold. So these first two noble truths are mundane in nature, they pertain to the conditioned world. Then in the third noble truth, the Buddha says suffering need not be. Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind leading to the enlightenment, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die, before one dies. Now this is the supramundane path. This is the enlightened state. When you awaken, when you have realized Nibbana, this form and mind can be said to be enlightened. But this one is not you. Do you understand? So that's why after enlightenment, the form and mind is still there, but connected with the wisdom. And this one can get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which we call Pativeda. You can realize the state of enlightenment and live the life of enlightened being, which means you reap the fruit of your hard work. This phase is the most beautiful part of your life. You get to live life to the fullest. You get to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. You get to experience all the pristine beauties and wonders of life. And you get to live the life of enlightened being. This is so beautiful. This is what that thing is. So the third noble truth is about this possibility of enlightenment leading to the supramundane. You have this supramundane understanding, which is the wisdom. When your mundane mind collapses, you become a gripping, a bodhisattva. To cultivate the perfection which will allow you to experience the supramundane mind. That mind is no more mundane. That mind is a supramundane mind, because your mundane mind has already collapsed, like winning. He was born without the mundane mind. The great being, when he reached that level of enlightenment, the mundane mind will collapse. Then you will get to live the life of an enlightened being. That's why the third number two is about the supramundane aspect of life. Then you will have the fourth number two, which is the NBRs. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. But this noble eightfold path still has its duality of right view, wrong view, right thought, wrong thought, right speech, wrong speech, etc. So when you cultivate, you must understand that duality is part of the existential world created by the mundane mind. Then you can transcend duality while living in the world of duality. It means with wisdom, you can understand that if you don't create them in the first place, then there is neither this nor that. Things are just the way they are. When you realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana, you can transcend them because you are no longer deluded by them. That's why I said from the mundane, it will lead you to the supramundane. That is what the Four Noble Truths is all about. So when you cultivate noble eightfold path, it's mundane. Do you understand? But you need this cultivation because these are the qualities of enlightenment. Because you are a noble one and you have to be noble in all aspects of life. Do you understand? Without the noble eightfold path cultivation, you are not an Arya. You can never become an Arya because you don't have these noble qualities within your form and mind, within the conditioned world. You don't have right view, and this form and mind doesn't understand. So it will simply do things. But when you have the right view cultivated, especially the law of karma, karma niyama, or the law of mind, citta niyama, which is understanding the paticca samuppada, dependent origination, and then dhamma niyama. Then this one is no longer deluded, means the form of mind. He will know the law of karma, he will not violate it. He will know what is right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, etc., which exists within the conditional. And it will cultivate all this. Then the four effort to constantly purify the thought process. You can then clear all the entire unwholesome mind state. That's how you become a truly enlightened being, an Arya, a noble being, with noble understanding, noble characteristics, noble character and personality, and noble mind states, born of wisdom, which means you are always mindful, or ever mindful and heedful, while in the state of samadhi. That's how, from the mundane cultivation, it can lead to the supramundane, which is the awakening, the enlightenment. The moment you awaken, you will know that this duality is the mundane aspect of life. So you won't get yourself entangled anymore. That's why at that time, Khan san, Yusa san, no more argument, the three levels of seeing. First person means the ordinary mundane Bodhicitta. They may say Khan san, Si san, or Khan san, Jiu Si san. You will agree to. He said, yeah, you are right. You will agree. Then the second person who is already enlightened say Khan san, Pu Si san. Yeah, he has the direct seeing. You will also agree and say, yes, Khan san, Pu Si san. But at the third level of phase of seeing, which is suchness seeing, is where a lot of cultivator cannot integrate back or get to understand it. This is going back to life. That's why finally, Khan san, Yusa san. That's why Huining say how amazing it is that all Dhamma arise from the self nature. And the self nature is already complete by itself, no need anything else. All teachings come from this understanding. So now, are you all clear? Okay, then they rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This mundane cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path will lead to the enlightenment. That's why from the mundane, it will lead to the supramundane realization. You can recall all my teachings, and you go back and reflect and contemplate. Then you will understand my final summary today. You are all connected. Sorry, they are all connected. They are all linked. Since the year 2004 until now, all the teachings are the same. There is no difference, except people cannot understand because they used to tell me, but till now you share differently. But I told them to go back and listen to all the old recording, and they realized everything is still the same. It was because at that time, they are not ready, they cannot understand. It was already shared, but at that time they all cannot understand. Now towards the tail end, especially so after you all have gone through the Diamond Sutta and the Heart Sutta sharing with me, you all can understand better. And the Heart Sutta is a very important sutta because all the basic teaching before the Bodhisattva Way are all taught in the Heart Sutta book. After that, the blue book, cultivating the Bodhisattva way, will complement it. That's why after this, I think we will go through the blue book, cultivating the Bodhisattva way, because that day, Miss Lee suggested it, which is very good, which is very good. Cultivating the Bodhisattva way. After that, maybe the Dhammapada verses, which is also very good. I have to bring most of you all back to the basic Buddhist teaching because a lot of you all are not from the Theravada tradition. Like the Tuesday class, we now share the life of the Buddha and his teaching. We have to go through that, otherwise, a lot of you may not know how those teachings and essential Dhamma comes about. There are a lot of teachings in the Dhammapada verses or sayings. I only taught you all the basic, the handful of leaves that you need, that are needed for cultivation. Recently, because of the election, I've added in two more verses, Dhammapada verse 119 and 120. There are a lot of other Dhammapada sayings that are very important and very beautiful too. So this Sunday class completes the whole understanding, and I think because of the condition, that's why the questions are all very direct and very relevant. We should thank Sister Adeline and Sister Ingbi, for creating the condition. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Is there any more question? At that time I said 4 more minutes and you can have your meditation. We shall stop here and we will go through the commentaries during the next Sunday class. Okay. Yes, still early. When we carry on. 3.3, meditation and meditation reporting. We will switch off the light and you can have your half an hour of silent awareness-based meditation. So at that time it was 30 minutes of formal. I call it silent meditation, where at that time you all were not ready for the word awareness-based meditation. Okay, for those who still had to or still want to meditate, means after the meditation, you may continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will have our meditation reporting, followed by whatever Q&A, question and answers session. You can just put up your hand, then we will pass you the microphone. Anybody wish to report meditation or ask whatever question related to the Dhamma or the meditation? Anybody? Then 3.3. Point one, The subheading is daily mindfulness and understanding meditation. Then Sister Lee asked the question, is it Brentio? Brentio always say meditation only begins when you are able to have the silent mind, which means you begin with the silent mind. Am I getting it right? Then I asked, so that is your question. So is that your question? He said yes. Then she rephrased it. He said, my question is, the self nature and the true mind are already in pure seeing, right? So if it's already in pure seeing, then when we meditate, do we still need to meditate from the silent mind when the mind is already very quiet? Then I replied, I said, so what is your actual question? And then Miss Lee repeat again. My question is, when the mind is already very quiet and silent, do we still stay with the silent mind, or we just let things arise from it and just be aware of it? Then I replied, I said, okay, I will answer you. I think I know why you asked those questions because you haven't really understood. That's why you will still keep on asking or keep on trying to understand using your own knowledge. You see, your first question is it true that unless you meditate until you can realize a silent mind, the real meditation hasn't started? That's what I have been telling you all this while. Not until your daily mindfulness is very stable, you can't have the silent mind. Do you understand? So you have to develop the training of the mind to have this ability to be mindful first, then stabilize it until it is ever mindful. This is what I have been sharing all this while with you all. First is to inquire. Are your spiritual faculties, especially your sati, developed? If it is still not developed, you will be heedless. You will think along because of the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrances. So you have to cultivate the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. If you haven't worked on that and still want to meditate, then you have to use the mind sweeping method combined with metta to stabilize the mind so that the heedless thinking is temporarily at bay. You just feel and relax to decondition the heedless thinking so that it doesn't think anymore. Then it will be calm. Then when it is calm, you can use either anapanasati or whatever skillful means, like a method or a technique or an object of meditation that you are familiar with to anchor the mind, to stabilize the sati. Just do that. Do you understand? Do until your mind become very quiet, until your breathing also become very quiet or very subtle, like there is no more breathing, until the subtle breathing also stop, and then the mind is just away without thought. That is the tranquil mind, which is also the silent and the still mind. Have you done that? If you have not done that, it means you have not trained your mind. If in the formal meditation you also cannot get this right, then how can you get the state of silence to do the daily mindfulness? To be in the state of awareness or silence in the midst of life? No way. So do you understand? That's why your question will keep on arising as long as you have not done that. Because you try to preempt the thing. And you try to use your Dhamma knowledge or understanding in inverted comma to understand and believe you are doing it right. I have told you it's not about right and wrong. Meditation has to be done with understanding. And understanding means it's not about whether I am doing it right or wrong. It's more of whether I have understood what meditation is or not. When I understand what meditation is, I just do what I have to do. If I need to train the mind, I train. If I need to work on the spiritual faculty, I will work on them. If I need to stabilize the sati, I will stabilize it. That's why the bowing comes in, the chanting continuously comes in. If you only do it in the retreat or in whatever chan chi is the 7 days Zen retreat, or even for 1 month, it is not going to help you much. But after that, you have to come out of it. Then you go back to square one and become heedless again. So what I have been sharing with you all is train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty until it is very stable. Until in the midst of formal meditation, you are already ever mindful and aware. The silent mind is already there. The mind is already in sati. Then bring it out into the daily life. We are having a good and comprehensive daily religious routine so that throughout the day, you can stabilize your mindfulness or daily mindfulness to develop the heedfulness come meditation. Not until you are able to have that stability of ever mindful state while in the midst of life, the real meditation hasn't really started. All those retreat experiences done by those who don't have the right understanding are mostly conditioned states. Meditative experiences born of thought-based meditation, as they are trying to meditate with concept and idea created by the thoughts. They are trying to do all those things in the name of meditation without proper understanding. And they don't understand that all this doing are still by the thought. So who is meditating? The thought is meditating. Why can't you just relax, silent, and stabilize your spiritual faculty? Stabilize your sati or silent mind and don't try to know anything. Just do. Do until the stability of mindfulness arises or come about. Then the form and mind will know what sati is. Do until when you bow, your body and mind move as one. When you walk, act, speak, and move, your body and mind is always as one. You have to do until that sati really stabilizes. Then coming to your second question, your question comes from your thought too. Why must you stay with anything? When you use word to describe, you must not be entangled and confused by the word. When they tell you, stay with the knower, like in some Thai tradition, many of them never inquire, who is the knower? There is no one to know, do you understand? The moment you know, you are not in sati already, because you have started to perceive. So this is the wrong word to use. What they mean is stay with the awareness nature. The awareness is just aware, which means don't arise the thought. They use the wrong word in the translation. And you don't understand. Oh, sorry. And you all don't understand. Because in the translation, it is said, stay with the knower. It is not the knower. Because the knower always perceives. Already know something, and that is the thought. So stay with the awareness. The awareness is already there when your mind is silent. When it's silent, it is without thought. Then you also come to understand without thought, you are already aware. Why do you want to try to be aware? Why do you still want to stay with anything? The moment you are without thought, after you have developed the training of the mind to be silent, the awareness will arise by itself. Without thought, the awareness is already there. Then why do you want to try to be aware or use another thought with a concept to look for that sati or mindfulness? The awareness or sati is not the word, for it cannot be named. If you have the understanding, then your mind is silent. Oh, sorry. If you have the understanding, when your mind is silent, it is already there. For mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. But you cannot be silent because you want to know via thought. That's how your problem comes in. It's because you are too eager to know. You are searching for it from the thought, from your knowledge. That's the reason why many of you are trapped, not only you, others too. So what you need to understand is not whether So what you need to understand is not whether what I have done is correct or wrong, or right and wrong, right or wrong. That one comes from the thought too. It's more about whether I have understood what I am doing or not. When I understand, I just do. The understanding is more important because when we understand that without the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances will be there, then I can silence my mind to check. Then I can see the sankhara movement, activity, the restlessness of mind, the sensual desire, and all the other emotion arising within the daily life. If I realize that the mental hindrance are still active, it means I have not trained my spiritual faculties. If my spiritual faculties are there and the sati is very stable, then there is no thought. If that is so, then how can there be duality arising? How can sensual desire or ill will arise? Then when I have samadhi, I can see things as they are at the moment of sense experience. When I eat something, see something, smell, hear, and tactile feel or think of something, this mind doesn't move anymore, but it is collected and unwavering. It is just aware. It can be with the moment. So when you understand, you just train the mind until it is very mindful. That part, you have to do it. That's why without method or technique, you use like the rising and falling or the chanting, you can chant until there is no one chanting, until the awareness and the vibration become one. Sometimes the Amitabha chanting can arise in the brain somewhere here. It will arise. Then I recite, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. It will arise within you, chanting. And the awareness is always there with it. That is the real chanting. As long as you still need to verbalize, you have not reached a stage where there is no one to chant. It means the voice is still there. But initially, you need the voice because that is the one that gives you the faith to anchor the mind. Do you understand? So with the faith and the virya, you chant and chant until one day you come to realize the chanting is gone. Then that chanting appears by itself in the brain or somewhere else. Then sometimes you may go somewhere. The moment the chanting starts, your awareness is with it already. Then initially, you can follow it via verbally. Then initially, you can follow it via verbalizing it inside, from inside. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. And you can also use your voice to make it strong if you want. But if you have the stability of mindfulness already, the voice doesn't come out anymore. It is from within. It is just the awareness and the chanting as one. Then later on, no more chanting from outside. Also, the inside will chant by itself because you have developed it. The faith has manifested. You are connected. Then the awareness is always there. Then in whatever condition the mind is in, that state of samadhi. Then in whatever condition, the mind is in that state of samadhi because the chanting has developed the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi. The faith is also very important because with the faith, the virya will arise. And if every day you do it like a religious routine, your sati will also arise. For the Mahayana, almost every day they are chanting, mindful and aware of whatever they do. That's how they develop the stability of sati and sada. So you have your morning chanting, your evening chanting, sometimes full moon and new moon chanting. And you also have the various other chanting, like the 7 day, 10 day, and the 9 day, and the 30 days. So they continuously develop their spiritual faculties, just like what you all did during the recent Guanyin retreat in Cameron Highland. And because of the continuous chanting, that's the reason why some of you, like Sister Adeline, her mindfulness just arise because she did it continuously. Do you understand? She already tried to stabilize her sati before she went for the retreat while at Rayong, Thailand. She could do it because she was very determined, and she also has the faith and virya. She was ready when she was at the recent retreat. That was the reason why she benefited so much for this retreat. She knew the daily mindfulness was very important, and most of the time she and those who have gone through it, like Brother Song, they are aware and mindful throughout the day, most of the time. That's what cultivation is all about. As long as you are not mindful, or in bracket, ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, you are a siddhi. For according to Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are a siddhi. That's why you must train your mind until you are ever mindful most of the time, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, you are a siddhi. The heedless are a siddhi. So this training is not difficult. When you understand, you just do. Don't try to know. Don't worry about right and wrong. Every time the thought wants to know, you should inquire, am I doing it right? Who is trying to be right? The thought is trying to be right. It is eager to know. Do you understand? Then the ego manifests without you knowing. We are saying, hey, I have got it already, especially so. If I were to tell you your meditation reporting is good, please continue with your practice, then your thought will tell you, but you say I'm doing it right, then you become like complacent. You think you have got it, and then you stop your cultivation. The real meditation is not about doing it right or wrong, it's about understanding what you have done in the name of meditation. If your spiritual faculties are not stable, then you have to work on it, especially mindfulness. Cultivate Sada and Virya are relatively easy, but Sati, you must develop it throughout the day, as per my earlier advice. A good daily religious routine is very important. Before you sleep, meditate. Silence your mind and relax. When you go to sleep, be mindful, silent, and meditate until you sleep. Then the most important is the next morning. The moment you wake up, be aware of your posture. Then be mindful or aware of everything you do. Then pay respect to Triple Gem mindfully. Do your meditation again. If you need to wash up, brush your teeth, etc., do it mindfully. Then go to your altar to develop some form of meditation. After that, whatever you do, like preparing your breakfast and taking your breakfast, do it mindfully. If you find it difficult, you can start with the mindfulness of your four posture, then slowly connect them with your other movement to develop the mindfulness of all the in-between movements and activity. You have to do all this before you go out of the house. Pay respect to Triple Gem and have faith. Every time you pay respect with your palms together, there is energy that goes to your heart. Initially, your heart area, it has to open up first. Where it is your heart. Sorry, because if your heart is not yet sensitive, I realize that it is not easy to cultivate because you cannot be mindful from there. When you are not able to open up your heart area, you will not be sensitive to detect energy. You cannot even be aware of your heart area. So you tend to use your brain or your thought process more. Reason why you think a lot. And very few people can develop the faith until their heart area opens up. Every time you pay respect with faith, there is an energy going in without you knowing it, if you are not sensitive. But later on, it will become sensitive, and then you can feel a lot of things from there. The awareness from there can actually speed up the cultivation, because the true sati starts from there. Every time you lapse into heedlessness, like while doing anapanasati, you bring it back. Then you determine to be aware by coming back to your heart area. From there, or from here, you're aware of outside. Everything you do, be aware from the heart. If you train it this way, sooner or later, one day, you will come to realize that your mind is now different. You can every time from inside the heart area develop awareness of outside. Every time you do from inside the heart area, you aware. You can see and trace back via recollection of mind. Then all this daily religious routine, whether you're working or doing your daily chores, you have to maintain mindfulness even while driving. So that part needs to be established and stabilized. That's why it's a full-time job. I used to use this word, but it doesn't mean that you have to retire from your work career. Full-time job here means to meditate full-time. You don't have to retire, which also means in the midst of your working life, you can also develop mindfulness. That is what I meant by full-time cultivating. Otherwise, like one of the Kayamita about 10 years ago at that time, she thought when I say meditation is a full-time job, she approached me and asked me and talked to me. She said, "Brother, I still need money, so how can I retire?" I said, "Who asked you to retire?" She said, "You say it's a full-time job." I say full-time job is whether you are working or not working, you are full-time developing the training of your mind to be aware of mind. And this is what meditation is all about. It doesn't mean that you have to retire from your job. No. You need to work, you work. You have to work, you work. If you can afford not to work, that's your decision. You can either semi-retire or retire. But whatever you do, whether you retire, semi-retire, or working, you can still cultivate. Cultivation is about developing continuous mindfulness or awareness. And this is what real meditation is all about. So develop this understanding so that you are clear. Then your focus is there. By doing that, you won't get lost again. Otherwise, this question keep on coming up. Because it's from the thought. The thought wants to know whether I'm doing it right or not. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. It's like, if you want to learn something, take for example, cooking or whatever, you can read up the theory. But as long as you don't try it out, especially cooking, the actual cooking, it's all theory, no use. Do you understand? If once a while you cook and you ask people to try to taste it, and you ask, does it taste good? If they say yes, then you know you have already done it. Then you become complacent, and then you write down the formula to knowledge to remember how you do it. This is not a skillful cook. A skillful cook doesn't need anything. The man will only serve as an initial guide, and he or she knows that all those things that are mentioned in the book are based on assumption. You know, all these are just guidelines. It is not rigid and ultimate. You know, everywhere you source, the source of those ingredients can be different. The cucumber, the onion, the vegetables you buy, the oil you use. All these ingredients may come from different places and they are bound to be different. Do you understand? And the way you understand the instruction is also very important. That's why everybody will cook it differently. But if you are a skillful cook, you don't need to rely on the menu. You smell, you see, and you will know how to start the cooking ready. You will know how to buy the ingredient and try it out. Then after a while, they will understand how much salt to put, and depending on where you get the vegetable, etc., then how you cook it, depending on your skill. That is the understanding part. You don't become rigid. You don't become knowledge-based or thought-based. Otherwise, you may go and argue with people. We are saying the manual say cook on this. Why do you go and put so much of this and that? Even though the same brand, sometimes the quality may not be the same. Do you understand? That's why you may buy from different batches, the different type of product. But for the person who cooks, the moment he smells them, he will know. This is not the one they used to have. That's why your skill and your understanding will make the difference. So when you have all this understanding, you are not gullible. You don't look for knowledge from others or the book. Instead, you observe and understand. Then you try it out. The trying it out is very important. You must do it until it becomes a part of you, until you become very skillful, until you don't need anything to guide you anymore. It is like the object of meditation. Initially, it's just a skillful means to assist you to train the mind, to anchor the mind. After that, if you still use it, you cannot progress. That's why all this object of meditation, later on, you must relinquish them. Even the chanting, you have to relinquish so that the awareness within is always there. That's why there is no one to chant. The awareness is with the chanting as one, nobody behind. It is the same for anapanasati. You develop it until it becomes very subtle, until the subtle breathing also ceases. Then no need to do anything because the mind has already entered sati. During that time, whatever you see, you are in sati. Whatever you smell, taste, and tactile feel, you are also in sati. So that mind is already different. You must have the stability of mindfulness to have that ability. Otherwise, you cannot understand what those cultivators are trying to share with you. I realize most of you have not really understood that part. That's the reason why you all keep getting caught in the vicious cycle, trapped inside there due to your old habitual thinking. You are too eager to know. Do you understand? That was why to Sister Padmasuri last time. But now she is already different. She no longer has that problem. Too eager to progress may also be a problem or a hindrance, because it's like one becomes anxious, wants to have the progress but cannot. Then inside say, wow, I tried so hard, I did so much, but still not there yet. To awaken, you cannot have this type of craving inside your mind. Do you understand? The thought that has the desire to progress, to be awakened, is a craving. So it cannot happen. Because to awaken, the appropriate condition has to unfold. That's why you just do diligently, sincerely with faith, and don't try to know. Then when all the causes and conditions are there, all of a sudden you will understand. Then when your daily mindfulness is firmly established, you will see a lot of things that you never see before. You will see your subtle mental intention clearly. You can also see how your sankhara arise and pass away, how upon contact, feeling arise, the condition craving. Provide that if there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you can be with the moment of feeling, attention, or perception, sankhara activity, etc. After that, no need to do anything. It's just like that all the time. Then the whole TV program and phenomenal world, your awareness will just flow with it. Everything is like a flow, specific phenomenal awareness. That's why you can see the physical flow, the mental flow, and nature's flow. Everything is just a flow in that state of awareness most of the time. It is in specific phenomenal awareness. Then once a while, in spacious awareness without a center, your mind is just like that. That's why there is no dwelling. So first train your mind until no thought. If this no thought state, you also cannot have it, or you also cannot arise it. It means you are still not ready to develop the meditation as yet, because you have yet to realize your silent mind or your true mind. When you are most of the time aware, ever mindful, it means most of the time you are without thought. You are just aware. Then when you perceive, you're aware. Then thought may arise, but it stops there. After that, it doesn't proliferate anymore. Then you continue with your daily life. Thought will arise, but immediately after that, it does not proliferate anymore because of your wisdom and understanding. And it doesn't move like before anymore. That it is always with the moment in pure awareness, more and more, more and more. Previously, before you have the mindfulness developed, you tend to think a lot or think ahead. You tend to think of many things and you are hardly aware, because you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life most of the time. You think of your problem, worry about them, and you also plan to do all those unfinished business that you have given importance to. Then your conditioned thinking, let's say when you are at home, you say, yeah, I need to go upstairs to take something. Then it conditions you to walk towards the staircase. But as you do that, you are not aware of your walking. And instead, you are thinking and heedlessly lost in thought. And you are not aware of what you are doing. Then thought conditions you to go upstairs. Then as your body turns to go upstairs, you are not aware. You are still thinking. Then when you reach the staircase, your thought asks, why am I here? Then you recall, oh, I am supposed to do something. That's why I'm here. But because you are not mindful, when you are mindful, all these things cannot happen because you are with the moment. But when the thoughts are ahead of your action and activity, that's how you become heedless. And you think a lot. And the thought is ever proliferating ahead of your action. And you are hardly aware because you are not mindful. You think a lot. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They are never with the moment to truly live life, to be aware of what is happening within the moment. That's why I always advise, whatever you need to do, write it down, so that you don't have to use so much of your memory. so that you don't have to retrieve it through the memory via your thinking. Just write it down, very simple. Then the mind doesn't have to worry about it. It is already written down and you won't forget. Do you remember? That's my advice. What are the things that you need to do? You just have to write it down. Then it saves you a lot of memory because no need to remember anything after that. Then when your brain doesn't register, it means your brain has space, like this table. If it doesn't have anything on the table, or look at this altar, the last time I commented, it was too crowded with the offerings, the fruits and all those things, until you can't move around. There is no space at all. And do you know what all these items means? These are equivalent to your belief system, your rites and rituals, your pantang, and your superstition, etc. Yeah, your tradition. Just like those pantang that your mother might have said to you, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, and so on. Then, on the 7th lunar month of the Chinese calendar, you cannot go out because it is Hungry Ghost Festival, etc. So these things create fear in you. Then next week is the 7th Chinese lunar month, and that is the month when all the hell beings have been released. And you believe that. So your memory of what your mother told you put fear in you. And with that, you intend to put fear into others too, due to your this pantang or belief. That's why you have fear. When you accumulate all these things that you are holding on in your brain, in your mundane mind, you don't have space. And since thoughts are response to memory, you will think a lot until there is hardly any space between your proliferating thought because you lack mindfulness. I think we stop here. Huh? This one is too long already. Almost 4:30 already. Okay, we mark here. What is the page? 53. Okay, we mark this page. Huh? I thought a little bit more, but never finished. Okay, we stop here. Then we can have our... maybe today we will only have 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Huh? Because it's already 4:28. Okay, for those who wants to go for toilet break, you can go for toilet break. Yeah. Then after that, you can develop the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, we are off the light so that you can have your awareness-based meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask any question that you may want to regarding the meditation, the teachings, or how to apply these teachings.
Good afternoon, Brother Kyo. Yeah. This is Kyo, and Sui is around, right?
Yes, Sui is around, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Kyo.
Yeah.
Okay, today, this 75
lesson,
book is actually very motivated to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because all this that actually very indeed is very true that what Brantu advises.
Mm.
But without practicing it and without going into the what do you call that? The understanding of thoughts, how it limited, and understanding of conditions, we can actually read it from the words and try to understand it. And from that level, I don't think I get it.
Yeah, you can't get it. One.
I can't get it. Because
initially,
I think,
by the condition of their ability to be aware. So when you don't have the mindfulness and the awareness, you really cannot understand what that thing is.
Correct.
Then from the thought, they will come up with a lot of ideas and opinion and view of what this thing is. Then they try to do. And the doing is always by the thought. Then they are always caught in, am I doing it correctly or rightly, or am I doing it wrongly? Then the worry about the question, how to transcend duality and all those things, it's not easy when people don't have the understanding. So luckily, in that sharing, I think there were causes and conditions for all this to become clear. Then later, when it comes to your questioning, also same, because the doing with understanding is very important. If you don't understand, then you cannot do it correctly. So understanding is most important. Like I say, it's only wisdom that free. So when you understand, you will know how to develop it through an understanding. Otherwise, most people are caught in the thought process, the duality, the concept, the idea. That's why later on, I think, over time. So you look back, this book was actually developed in the year 2018, which was about 4.5 years ago. So 4.5 years ago, they started to have a little bit of like better understanding, but still not clear. That's why when we go through all these transcripts and we recall back what happened, then we can understand, like you mentioned very aptly or correctly, by saying at that time, you still cannot develop the understanding because the actual understanding or sati was not there, the actual doing was not there. So after you had developed the ability to develop the silence within and the awareness, and then only from that silent, from that development of that mind, then the understanding become different. And then from there, everything starts to surface. So cultivation is to be done with understanding. So all this will only stand out after the individual have gone through the process, unless, of course, that being who has done it from the past. Then when they come, then when there is causes and conditions, they connect very fast. But I realize most people need pointers, or what we call guidance. Then they have to have the faith to move into all this, as like the spiritual faculty, all those things must fall into place. And then after they do it with all the faith, sadhaviriya, then when they able to realize that awareness within, or the silent mind, or what the true mind is, then only the understanding start to surface. Otherwise, it's not easy. You must, like you also mentioned, you must also have the ability to see thought, how thought divide and create all the duality, all the delusion, causes to stir our mind, develop the heedlessness and all those things. Then over the years of understanding of what the three evil roots are, why they are called evil roots that actually make us evil, condition our negativity of mind states, cause our mind to develop all the wrong view, the delusion, then condition us into negativity and cause us to get ourselves entangled and afflicted. So all this need silent observation to understand. So the silent mind, the daily mindfulness that has been trained and developed to have the stability to just observe is very important. So that part, I think by now most Kaimita have developed the understanding. So it's good. You can continue. Sorry, Miss Lee.
Yes, thank you. What I'm trying to say that I am sharing how I was trapped before.
Yeah.
It's more on I have a different directions. That means I am actually looking for how to meditate. And preempt me is looking for a way to meditations. Then whatever Brother Teo talk to, that means advise us, actually that one, it become a checkling on in my mind.
Correct.
Try to interpret.
Correct.
Try to, you know, a lot of chattering.
Yeah, because you approach it from memory, from the thought.
Yeah.
No, from the thought.
Until this part, I still didn't get it. By that time, I still didn't get it.
Yeah.
Then I was telling myself, I'm going to give up the meditations. The moment that I say I want to give up, the way of listening is different.
Yeah, yes, because you are no longer holding on to something.
Yeah. Then your teachings, like the essence, all automatically come in. It come in.
Fall into place. Fall into place.
It flow in very well.
Mm.
When it flow in, some you can understand, some you can't understand. And I don't have the grasping or want to know or want to. The mind is like
that one is very important. Yeah.
There's no desire to want to understand.
Correct.
But I just let it flow in. And every lessons I just let flow in, and I meditate it as well. And my meditation become a very free way of meditation. There's no like I want to do this, I want to do that, you know,
like that. Very good. No longer rigid.
I don't have to be silent.
Yeah,
I don't have to
yeah.
whatever arise, I let it arise.
And very I just good,
then,
very good.
And I that time I still don't understand is what is awareness.
Mm.
But later, after that, the understanding keep on arise. Then I understand that I'm on the right path. Then slowly, I developed into the daily mindfulness. And now that's why I say when I can see when I have the dependent or deterioration arise, and I see how these five spiritual, the understanding arises that how important these five spiritual qualities. That's related to related to the Mahayana practice in the chanting.
Correct, yes.
So that it come into place how Mahayana practice the importance of it. So that's why I say that when the seeing come is really a short term, but it's very wide, you know.
Yes.
It's reading, so that is what I want to share.
Good.
I feel that words cannot be compared.
Yes.
And when teachers teach you, you must first understand from which perspective he's coming from.
Yes.
Because words is interpreted different teacher will give a different words, but they are actually talking the same thing. But you
Correct.
Use words to compare, actually is comparing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
That is what I understand. So from now, I just want to report that my meditation currently is more sensitive vibrations, not so much of the sound. The sankhara come in the form of movement now. So but initially a short meditation is what you can go into the stage quite fast.
Yeah.
That's not when although it's half an hour, but the entrance is the meditation is quite still.
Yeah.
So
your mind can settle down very fast.
It can settle down very fast, and actually the mind don't even expect that what is the functions of that.
That should be the
understanding
behind, yeah, because that nature is just awareness. So
yes.
everything that arises from there is the thought process. So don't try to know, like I always say, don't try to do, just relax and maintain awareness, then stabilize it. Then that nature will let you understand a lot of things, because that nature is that true mind that is completely silent, tranquil, and still. And that one is the one that can see clearly. And when it sees, it has no word, it has no conditioning, it has no concept, idea. So that one is the direct seeing. That nature itself is different. That's why when you have that understanding, then you realize without the mundane mind, your spiritual faculty is there, you are already at peace. And you can understand all this without the need of knowledge to come in. Then the beauty is when you reverse all this doing to an understanding, then you do not do actually. You end up not doing. Because the doing is always by the thought. That's why you say now you can just let things be. You are not worried about whether you have progress or whether you are eager to know. No more. All those things, then you are in a state of relaxed awareness, because the acceptance of that understanding actually make the mind different. In the past, the mind is always looking for things, wanting to know a lot of things, whether I do it correctly or whether I have progress. So that one is craving, that one is desire, that one is the mundane mind still active. So what one need to understand is this is the mundane thinking mind, the thought process that create all this so-called duality with all the evolution and all those things. So what you need to do is to observe all this movement to understand what is going on. Then from there, straighten our view, then develop the understanding of what that state of silence is. So when you understand what that state of silence is, then from there, the meditation becomes different. Then there is no more delusion to create more thinking, more thought process, more duality, more doing. Well, all this is from the mundane mind. That's why I start off by explaining duality exists because it is created by the mundane mind through words, through concept, through idea. Like when you start to understand all those, then why do we want to allow it to proliferate and manifest and cause all the distortion of truth, cause all the delusion to set in? So when we start to understand all this, then we tell ourselves, without thought, we are already aware that nature is already there. So as long as you can let things be and allow it to be, then the meditation becomes different, transform, and you become like, suddenly you realize, no longer like last time, being drawn by all those things, being conditioned into all those views, opinion, knowledge, and all those things. Then when all those things doesn't disturb you, then you realize that awareness nature is peaceful, tranquil, still. And that is the one that can observe and see. But to understand that that nature and the thinking mind, the two are very near, and they can just move into the thought process very fast, that is the wisdom part. So when you start to see that, then you understand the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara. Because avijja is what? Ignorant, lack of understanding. And what is ignorant? Not understanding the truth. So when you don't understand what you do, you want to know. Wanting to know, wanting to be right, wanting to develop all the knowledge, is the one that drives you to think. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, that one thing is the one that creates sankhara activity, the thinking. Then you realize, what is there to know? Well, all these are creation from the mundane mind. So when there is no avijja, means no craving, no desire, nothing, so I just allow that mind to be. When I allow that mind to be, everything falls into place. Then because I am a form and mind, that form and mind, which is karmically conditioned for my nature to come, is not a permanent and changing entity. And I have to understand that and see that. So the aggregates of mind that keep on arising and passing away because we have the six sense bases upon contact, all this arise. This one you must, through the silent mind, mindfulness, awareness, observe silently to understand, not to knowledge, not to straight away entangle into Dhamma knowledge and say, yeah, this is a sixth sense or this. No, silent everything and see it happening. Then when it happens, you come out of it, then you realize this is what the Buddha meant. That's the awareness of it is the wisdom that arises that confirm what the Buddha said about the form and mind. Then you realize this form and mind is not a being, not a permanent entity. It's all the sense bases and the sense data and the mundane mind that is trapped inside. And when the three come together, it triggers off mundane consciousness. Then the content of consciousness, how we go in, is from the brain, the memory, the views, opinion. So when you start to see all this, you start to understand how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? That's why that topic is a very wide topic, like you mentioned just now. You have to understand all this. Then you start to understand how thought divine, through words, through concept. And then when all this falls into place, you are no longer deluded by the things that thought create. Where thought is limited in the sense that it is limited by the content of consciousness that it input, and that is from memory, which is of the past. So thought cannot be in the moment to understand what is going on. Thought is always from memory, from our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. And all this movement of thought is not a reality. The reality is within that moment, if there is no delusion, no fear, all this movement cannot arise. That's why avijja vijja sankhara cannot arise. Without avijja, it's just vijja. Vijja means wisdom. That's why I always say it's only wisdom that free. When you understand, you're no longer deluded, then all this fail to have power over you. Then you won't ask questions already. You won't chase after them. You just let things be. Then everything falls into place. Because when you don't do anything, like the third way that the Buddha teach, then you realize whatever mind state that arise, they will return to the natural state of silence, tranquility, stillness. Then you realize this is how you free. You don't need to do anything. Then you realize anger was never you. Fear was never you. Delusion was never you. All these are dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena created by thought through the mundane activity of mind, mundane movement of mind, born of avijja. And this is how the process actually reveals itself. That's why we need mindfulness, awareness, to see all this, to understand all this. Then, like what you have come to understand and realize is the beginning of actually a very, very profound process of awakening. Because you start to understand when you reverse all this without all your views, opinion, and conditioning, and the rigid way of doing things, when you just like, you want to give up, you don't know. You assume you don't know, you start with a clean slate, then you just want to be in the state of unknowing. When you say you don't know, that is you begin to investigate. When you say you know, you cannot investigate one, because that knowledge prevents you from seeing, from understanding and investigating. But when I say I don't know, I find out, isn't it? And then I can find out. But if I don't say I don't know, I cannot find out, means I always use this knowledge to go after things, to meditate, to understand, to do. So knowledge is always of the memory, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, from the mundane mind. It's not from the awareness. It's not from what you observe in the moment. It's not the direct seeing, it's not the awakening. That's why that realization is very important. And that is the beginning of all understanding. So your reversal of approach to understand this has helped you, actually. And this one, you need to actually stabilize it. Then when you stabilize it, when you are able to observe more and more and more and more, then all the understanding that I explained and mentioned will fall into place and become clearer and clearer and clearer. Then in the not too long, okay, you will have that very penetrative understanding and become very different again. Okay, see? Sadhu, do you want?
Yeah, Bracho. After knowing what is awareness, there is in the one meditation, it arises three like a PowerPoint proverbs. Very big the in the meditation itself. It says, Wan xiang zuan jing, bao ci jing qing jing.
Oh, good. That one is very
good. But when I come out from meditation, the first two slides are very clear.
Yeah.
But that time when this happening, there is a slight vibration at the heart. But the third one, I totally cannot remember. Wei qi xian mie, I cannot remember. Then when it come to after 4 days, suddenly one incident happens, then I saw there's nothing arises in the mind.
Yeah, because that's who I am, nothing.
Then only this come to the understanding arises.
Yeah,
I got it. And that allowed me to see how past my duality is. Because every senses that I, in the senses, all are duality.
Yeah, create a demanding mind. Very good.
Yeah.
That's why just now you mentioned in the meditation, the PowerPoint, I think the third one you mentioned, Bao Liu.
Wei Qi Xian Mie.
Yeah, after that.
Wei Qi Xian Mie is the last one.
You saw Bao Liu Qing Jing, is it? Something like that.
Wan Xiang Zuan Jing, Bao Ci Qing Jing.
Bao Ci Qing Jing, that is the correct one.
Yeah.
Stay with the awareness. Don't go and allow all this to distract you. Wan Xiang Zuan Xing is correct. Actually, the mind right creation is the one that actually stir you away. So, Bao Liu Qing Jing means stay with the true mind, then you will see all this, you will understand all this.
From there, but from there, a lot of aggregate manifestation, you know, Bracho.
Definitely, because you have not stabilized the understanding.
Yes, but the mind still can maintain as the Wei Qi Xian Mie. That means it's still, but it's watching.
At that stage, when you mention it, means that watching is still not stable yet. That's why you haven't reached that stability. But the more important one is Bao Liu Qing Jing. That what you have to do
to be
stable. And then only the observation come by itself. No, not a being or a thought observing.
Yes.
What you describe one, there is still the movement of the thought observing. It's not the real one. The real one is, but that Bao Liu Qing Jing is the most profound, and you must go into that, stabilize that. And then the understanding all will unfold, because you tend to have that tendency to like want to understand too fast. Means you think that is correct already. You think you are observing already. Actually, be patient. Wait until it's stabilized. When it's stabilized, that nature that observe, no words one, nothing one. And that one, no concept, no idea one. That movement, that specific phenomenal awareness, And the spacious awareness without a center, you must realize it, you must see it clearly. That's why I say mindfulness of whatever that is arising at the moment of this is arising, sustained and then passing away without word. Just the awareness. But because I have to describe it, I have to use word. So at that point, when your stability of mindfulness, Bao Yu Qing Qing, when you can stabilize that, then that one observe, no word one. That is the real observation. Then from there, the direct seeing, the silent mind, will insight into phenomena and awaken. Then all those mind are saying that you have read through or been taught, they start to become meaningful, they start to awaken. That's why last time I remember you asked me what your poem Zhang Lao wrote. Those were beautiful. That one all very beautiful. That one is Ta Wu Dao Liao De. That's why he can write it down. He realized that without thought, that is the true mind. Qi Xing Dong Nian. Qi Xing Qi Wu Ming. He understands all those things, but he realized it. So you have to develop the process in a similar way through an awakening, through the understanding. So all these are moving to that direction, falling into place. But be patient. That's why it's the guru. So follow me. Means don't be too eager to progress and know. Means be patient to understand one at a time, step by step. Then the important Dhamma you see, Bao Liu Qing Qing. That is the true practice. When you can do that, the mundane mind doesn't arise. That is the direct seeing. That is the silent mind from the nature observing. And that is meditation. That's why I say without the mundane, without the silent mind, you have not started. So that understanding is what this one is. Bao Liu Qing Qing means stay with awareness. Not stay with the knower. The knower is a thought, wrong, like just now in the book. In Thailand, they like to say, stay with the knower. There is no one to know. There is the thought. Stay with the awareness nature. Qing Qing is the true mind, the silent, the awareness nature. The awareness nature is a nature, not a thought process, not an entity. So realize that, stabilize that. Then your meditation will progress and you become very different in not too long a time. So all these are very beautiful understanding. Good, Sadhu, Miss Lee.
Thank you, Bacho. Really appreciate all the sharing, especially from Kalamitas. And Brother Till continues to input, especially now where Brother Till can really go into our meditation report.
Yeah, right. The meditation aspect, the deeper understanding of cultivation.
And expand in the understanding. And I noticed that what we experience, every time the experience will be different.
Yes.
And it will be what we understand from one this experience may be different after a few months later with
definitely,
another.
Because as you progress, as you evolve, your understanding becomes different again.
That's what I come to
aware
of.
Yes.
And I think for today I would like to end my sharing here. But Kuan around, because I got a very good sharing with her.
Oh, I think Manyan is around, yes. Yeah
Manyan?
You can.
Got a very good sharing.
You can ask Manyan to share. Manyan, are you there?
Pradya, can you hear me?
Yeah, can, yes.
Oh, okay. Hi, Pradya, Mrs. Teo Sui, Mita Sen. Thank you for nominating me. The other day, I went over to Sister Steve's place to take some vegetarian food. So, that we heard. So, she find it very good. So I guess I also want, I was thinking of sharing also, but I was thinking whether it's substantial to share lah, but she said okay, but then I share now lah.
Yeah, good. Huh. Yeah. That's why this discussion is going to be even more and more meaningful when among Kayamita they have developed the understanding and the progress. When you start to share certain type of Dhamma, it will actually bring forth the conscious condition for deeper understanding the surface. That's why Alicia in the early day also every time they discuss the song they all. And sometimes PG will talk to Pali and all those things. Then all this discussion can turn out to be very beautiful and meaningful. Then sometimes it's song like sharing with Jin Hao they all. So all this can become really part of the Dhamma discussion that bring forth the causes and conditions for Dhamma to manifest and unfold. Good. So you should share. So what do you all discuss? Yeah.
Oh, I was telling her that after I came back from Cameron Highlands, I felt that, you know, sometimes during my daily life, I feel something different, like
there was a few
incidents. Actually, sometimes I cannot recall what happened, but after talking to her, I recall what already.
Mm.
There was one time I was talking to my father, and then I remember getting a bit woke up and unhappy.
Yeah.
Then you know the feeling. It came out, but then the next instant, suddenly I become very calm, you know.
Yeah, and, because of your understanding, the unisop manasikara, the awareness, straight away it will prompt you.
I didn't force it. It just
come out on. Then you become very calm. You don't need to do anything.
Yeah, very calm. And perhaps that was some happiness. There's some more. The other moment, if it changed like that.
Yeah,
and then,
it just switch over. That's why I say.
It switch over like that.
Like the pump. Flip over. Gone already.
Correct. Flip over. And then there was some understanding. Your father don't mean that way. So when I have this understanding, my father didn't mean it that way. He mean it another way. Suddenly, that earlier feeling gone, all gone.
That is the one that stir. And when you have the understanding already, then the whole thing disappear. That's why you have that wrong view, the mind straight away settle down. When the mind is caught in delusion with the wrong view, it stir. And a cultivator can have the ability because there is sensitivity. There is this ability of the mind to feel, to be sensitive of what is going on. Then the unisop manasikara that understand will prompt you. Like in your case, it's come out with a different message. Your father didn't mean that. And straight away, you become peaceful. That's not because you saw it. Your father actually didn't mean that. It means he's not purposely, he wants to make life difficult for you. Or then straight away, you become peaceful. Then later on, a deeper understanding will arise. Even if he purposely mean it or what, you will come to that understanding. He is the way he is. Understand? Because he is the way he is conditioned into. And he will do things according to his views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system. Then you can accept him for what he is. So all this understanding, they will have the ability to enable you to apply across the whole spectrum of cultivator or beings that you come to encounter with in life, not only your father, anybody. You will manifest that same understanding. They are just normal living beings, human beings, form and mind, having their own conditioning, views, opinion, and understanding. So accordingly, all this movement and understanding will be there when you have the cultivation. So this is very good, the beginning of what they call development of deeper and deeper understanding of what the mundane mind is all about. When it sees all this, this is what the training of mind to be aware, to be sensitive. When the Dhamma knowledge is there, or wisdom develop, slowly it will make you different, like you came to know through discussing with Miss Lee. You realize all this in the past, you cannot experience, you cannot go through, you cannot have. It's because that time you are so conditioned, you are like so rigid. Then you will react very fast, you get angry very fast. But now, the mind is different. After the retreat, come back because you know how to relax into whatever mind state that arrives, then you get to realize that awareness nature, and you can now easily relax and meditate like in the retreat there, half an hour, 45 minutes, and 1 hour, and become very quiet, very peaceful. That is a transformation. That is how your nature develops. And then when you are able to have more and more of that, your sight of mind, your awareness nature is the one that continue to transform you and make you different. Then your daily life all, they will fall into place. And your ability to understand all this with that direct seeing, the wisdom, the understanding will make you different again. So this is a transformation process that will continue to move. Before you have all this ability to be aware of the true mind, the silent mind, all this cannot happen on. That's why you have to start with the silent mind, the awareness that develop the stability. Then from there, a lot of these things that you all start to experience and describe, they will surface. But before that, cannot. Those who are doing thought based on all cannot, but they don't have the ability to develop those understanding. Okay, yeah, very good. So you continue here.
Then there was another instance also. I booked a lodging. I pay up everything, you know. My father said, hey, can still cancel if you don't go. Then I say, at first I thought can. So I told him can. And I knew a few days before. Then what happened was, I think last week, suddenly my brother messaged me, you know, he's something, but I misinterpreted him. I thought I have to work that day, I cannot go. I thought it was like that, but actually it wasn't. So when I saw that message, I can feel panic because I feel everything already. Panic, and then the heat coming out perspired somehow.
Yeah, that's how the mundane mind stir very fast.
Non refundable, my priority. Die this time. but this time, different from the earlier one. There was a flip, no peace or like happiness. This one different. This time was when I was experiencing this, and continue to experience that kind of fear. Suddenly there was like a way out, you know, saying that. So what? Cannot cancel, but there must be a solution.
There
must be a solution. Go find another person to replace your brother.
Sadhu.
I think if last time, I will panic until the end.
Until cannot eat, cannot sleep. But this time, at least, the mind has become different. So what? That is the reality. Then think of a solution. Understand? That's how you resolve issue. That's why apply Noble Eightfold Path, right view, condition, right thought. No more negativity. But the truth is, the reality is, cannot refund, cannot cancel. So you have to think of a way out. So to solve life problem is to develop the Noble Eightfold Path without negativity to resolve things amicably. That is the function of Dhamma. That's why walk the path of Dhamma, resolve it amicably via the Dhamma way. Dhamma way is over eightfold path, right view leading to right thought, no negativity. So that is the approach. Without you knowing it, you can see now you are no longer like last time, freak and become so panicky, had sleepless night already, but now no more. So what? It cannot miss. I try to get somebody to replace him or whatever. So even finally we have to burn, we have to burn. I remember last time we actually, our whole family, we planned the Japan trip or thing. So I bought my ticket, everything ready. Then I suddenly, after a while before that trip, I had to go through the NGO. That was 2013, I think about 9 to 10 years ago, coming to 10 years really. So at that time, I didn't panic. I said, burn, burn lah. Then if got insurance, we claim lah. No insurance also, never mind. So later on, I think my son checked with the airline. If it's not due to my fault because I got medical thing to prove, I think he managed to get the whole refund for my ticket, for my ticket. Because I can't fly, it's because of the NGO. It's not because of anything else. So if you had bought the insurance, even if your taxi got problem or whatever, it's like they call, they use this word, what, force major. It means not due to your fault. You can actually claim. Because most airline ticket is actually covered by all this. So you have to talk to the airline people nicely and you say, why you can't go and all those things. Then when that airline listen to you, then they can advise you. In this case, whether you can claim back whatever amount that you're supposed to claim back, then you just apply the best of what you understand. Talk to them nicely and ask them to help you resolve all this. So just let it be, because meant to be will be. So all this, it can happen on. And your ticket is not much, is it?
It's just the lodging, like lodging.
Yeah, lodging and all those things. The whole flight for my whole family to Japan.
The whole family, relative, or just you?
Whole family. But because I was the only one who cannot go. So when I cannot go, they also don't want to go. So because of that, but my son actually managed to claim it back for me.
Very good.
The rest, but I think for my son, he got back certain percentage, I forgot already. But that is the reality, so no need to panic. So what condition like that, things will be like that. Thing is just the way it is. You complain also no use. I always say we got two choices. Become panicky and worry about it and curse ourselves for all this type of thing. No use. Well, these are not the reality. The reality is, after you make that decision, then that thing happened. So accept the reality. Mm-hmm. When you are in the position to accept the reality, realize you are at peace. Well, what is being lost is just manipulating. And manipulating is not something like very, very important. In the sense that whatever, like my teacher say, whatever you lost is what you have gained. Because if you have not gained them, how can you go and buy them? You must have gained them in one way or other, or earn them through whatever. So you can afford it, just let things be. Even if you find it costing you quite a bit, but we have to accept that this is reality. Reality is, truth is, suchness. This is the conditional. Conditional has its condition number. Then if you understand the law of karma, the law of mind, so all this will manifest in accordance, and there are causes and conditions behind. So all this understanding will make you different. So finally, what happened? You continue.
Mm. Oh, then when my brother came back, I clarified with him lah. Mm. He didn't mean that he can't go or he can go. The way he wrote the message was misleading to me.
Yeah.
So that was another one.
Mm.
Then got many examples lah. Then like last week, I went up to meet up with a friend that I haven't seen her for I think more than 20 years. So when she came and we sat down, for a few times today, she canceled our engagement. I was okay, well, not didn't like, you know.
Not like last time, agitated, poor song, you know, saying,
Even on that day, also she was late, but she told me, I will be coming 1 hour later. And I was really on my way. So also, no boson.
Because you have become different. You have the understanding. And the understanding transforms the individual's personality. Because no need to react and make a fuss of things. Thing is just the way it is. That's why as you go through the cultivation, you develop more and more understanding. And there are a lot of such causes and conditions that manifest for you to learn, to develop the understanding. Then when you reflect back, you realize, yeah, you are different now. Yeah, that's why I told you all many examples too last time. After I had the understanding, when I accidentally hit my leg against something, a metal bar that is very painful actually, but I didn't like sound miserable. I realized that thing will create intense pain for normal people. Normal people would have like, very painful, scream or whatever. But for me, no, I was laughing actually. Then I felt that tactile thing there. Then I was laughing. Then to be will be. Then I have the ability to come to terms with those reality and move on. Now these are the things that I had to pay back. I had to go through. Then I realized the other one I told you is when I drink that coffee that my wife made, he forgot to put the sugar. I didn't react. I just like understood it through the awareness and just laughed. Then I called my wife. I said, can you try the coffee? But then he realized that the sugar was like, I said, no need to worry. I said, you need to put food. But some people take for granted one. No, ask you to make coffee, sugar also there. Then you get angry over what? You don't appreciate what people have done for you and you go and create a mess out of the thing. This is not the Dhamma way. The Dhamma way is to have understanding. When you have the understanding, your behavior, like I always say, character-wise, personality-wise, we become different. It transforms us for the better. So all this, you will start to see more and more, more and more, which is very good. Sadhu.
Then, Pratya, when you sat down and have starting to have meal with her, I realized like she very different talk the things for me lah, maybe not for Pratya lah, I find it very unconventional different from normal people.
Definitely, because after 20 years
even after 20 years you may not behave like before. But it's not about different from before. It's about I find her way of thinking compared with the rest of other people.
Definitely. You will have the ability to, because by now our understanding has become different. Understand? So we can evaluate people differently. You will start to see that one. You will start to see that one. You will not assume one. That's why we can observe and allow it to unfold. Then you realize, a lot of things, when you don't like assume or like project, means based on the past, you, this guy, last time he like that, so you expect to see him or her like that. But when you try to observe like that, like you observing the child, you assume this child very naughty, or then you are not observing already, understand? Your views, your opinion, your conditioning from the past, the memory, is the one that is observing. Means from that point of view, you observe, then you cannot see one, you're not sensitive. But when you are able to like allow that thing to be, means after 20 years, it's very natural for you to see changes and all those things, but you don't expect it. But it is because you have the ability to be with the moment, to observe what is going on. That's why you can see all this. And you can see very clearly one, the things that are no longer like how she used to be. But her thinking, her mentality is because it's the way she go through life at that, within that period, at that place. They are different. Some the mentality are very different from others. That's why they become the way they are. So we can see all this. We can develop the sensitivity towards all this. It's because our mind has become different. That's why I always have joy when I observe people. When I talk to people whom I have not met for a long time, then I can sense, I can see they are different. Even a lot of my classmates that I never meet, then after 40 years, 30 years or whatever, then suddenly we meet, then you can see they have actually evolved and become very different. Some because they go overseas, they come back, they talk also different. But I realize most of them, as they age, they are not so aggressive like last time already. I go in very close classmate who is very close to me. He actually very successful. He became very successful, I think. He went through his career. He got very successful, high profile career. He was managing director or listed company and all those things. So in the heydays, he has this reputation. People were scared of him. And he like, those who deal with him, they will know. Then after he retired, I think after 60, when he retired, then he talked to me one day. I was laughing, you know. Then I had this joy, you know. He becomes so different, you know. You know what he told me, you know? He said, hey, at our age, we must not do the thing that we used to do, you know. Now we must be more tolerant. You know? We talk to our wife, we talk to our children. We must be more and more careful and sensitive. You know? We must not raise our voice like last time. Maybe. Then I look at him, I laugh now. I say, wow, where you learn all these things? Yeah, he said, lao liao la. He said, how many more years can we live? Oh, he start to have all this understanding. Then he said, no, he said, we have to be sensitive to them. But they also, like us, no, need companion, need friendship and all things. So when you talk to them in a very nice manner, they feel cool, no? He started to see all this. No? Last time he had got time. Attend meeting also no time. A lot of things are all very rush, all in the brain. Yeah, he is a fighter. And so he can solve problems very fast. On me. His mind very focused and strategize. But people change. You cannot like perceive a person because you have seen him like that. Then you believe he will continue to be like, no, people can change. People can develop transformation. Sometimes it's through experiencing life. So these are the few that I saw. Change for the better. Change for the better.
But this friend, the thing she said is different from me. So that's why I say that her thinking is different from conventional people.
Yeah.
I was able to just listen to her and didn't like resist or tell her, hey, actually, no, you shouldn't do like that.
No, that's but really good. Means you accept her for what he is.
Yeah, but maybe it is me lah. Because like I gave you an example. He was telling me, she's the second person that I know lah, that did not take the vaccination. Vaccines are bad, and she said she also didn't allow her son to take. She told me, last time when her son were very young, if they fall sick and have fever, she will not take them to see a doctor because she said our body naturally can heal by themselves. She said that what she did was let her son rest, maybe fast, and then drink a lot of water, which is different, you know. That's why I say she's, but then when I listen to her, I just say, hey, wow, like that, afterwards your son die, I just listen to her, and inside me, I didn't fight.
Yeah, you didn't have that type of negativity or thinking.
Which after I came back, I thought, why you didn't have that?
Correct, you realize you are different now. You are willing to be a good listener. Because actually, based on what you share, she has her logic. Because when I look back when I was young, I actually went through life the way actually she attend to her son. I seldom see doctor. We got time for doctor at that time. Seldom one. Because we play, we get all the trouble and the problem. Then that time I told you all when I was young, I was having this very severe type of sinusitis. The nose there. I have a lot of phlegm and all those things. Then my father, of course, gave me this cow emulsion, the fish oil thing. Of course, that one I take, but it helps a bit. But it doesn't help me much because the place I stay is very dusty. That place, a lot of dust on. Then I think my nose was sensitive. And later on, when I grew up, I realized I had to pay back that karma because there were certain, like, I must have caused suffocation to these animals. But this time, it so happened when I was about 13 years old. My mother asked me, yeah, we caught a rat. Rat, you know, rat a lot. In a trap, the cage. Then my mother say, go and dispose it off. I was having big problem at that time because I cannot kill. I cannot honest. So I say, how? I say, very difficult. So finally, you know, the bright idea come up, maybe just throw the whole netting together with the rat into the pool of water and let it suffocate. So that was the idea. So I throw it down. Then I realized that thing didn't die, you know, but I think I can sense the rat was suffocating now. So finally, I took it out. Then when I have that sensation, then I realized that's how my this thing come, my that sinus thing come. Then later on, when I came to the university, I recovered already. You know? I recovered already. Then my mother came and stayed with me. You know? Then because of the coming, when I was young, I actually did something that caused my mother's leg to have the phone sort of thing. Because when I was young, he came, I struggled without intention. My mother's leg was affected. Then as she grew old, he had this phone sort of thing. So I felt worried, but then I knew. And because of that, when I was 35 years old, on, he came and stayed with me, look after my children and all that. Then he one day, without letting me know, no, he go and buy that kuchai. He told me to buy this type of veggie, a type of veggie, because he heard from the villagers, the rats, they will not come to the house. So I didn't know. So I asked my contractor who was a pest control, I don't know what. I said, you got this type of vegetable? He said, yeah, Mr. Tio, you want, I buy for you. He bought very big packet for me, you know. So when I was in the office, it was quite pungent. No? So what I did was, I split it out into two packages. One, I put on the office window unit. I left it there and I shut the window. I forgot about it. Then the other bundle, I took it back to my house. So my mother, out of love for me, I put under my bed. No? I didn't know. So for the whole 1 month, I was smelling that one. And the aircon in the office, I was. Then my sinus came back again. But then I knew already, it's coming. I have to pay back. So I went through that process. Then later on, after my understanding, the whole thing reversed. No? Then I recovered. Of course, I had to see a HUKM specialist. My sister made an appointment for me. Then he checked. He said, don't worry. He said, my nose there is initial polyps. Actually, polyps can become cancer. That time, I think I was 40 years old. I didn't know. Then he gave me this antibiotic, which I took. Then I recovered. Until now, completely gone. So it can be resolved when you have that understanding, then all these things can happen. So what I want to share with you is when I was young, I also let the natural immunity, I drink tap water, all those things, I got no problem. Then I recover. Then later on when I grew up, I realized my sinusitis is very serious one, actually, that one. They say it can become haiku. What is it, the English word for haiku? Asthma, can become asthmatic one. No? I didn't know, no, but I grew up like that. And that natural, what they call, I realized, lasam jia, lasam toa, you grew up under that condition. We drink tap water, so no problem. So when I grew up, I realized my immune system is more established. I would say higher, more established. Then when I start to have good food and all those things, when I went to the college, I realized my health recover very fast. Because most of the time when I was young, I let the natural immunity actually stay inside me. I built very strong natural immunity. Then when you take a little bit of multivitamin or good food and all those nutritious food, your health immediately go up. That's why the lady got her basis. Don't want everything, small thing, go and see doctor. But please don't get me wrong, you need a doctor, you better go and see doctor. Yeah, nowadays, doctors are different, they are much better. They know how to actually solve your health problem and all those things. Okay. Oh, sorry, almost 6:06 already. When I think we have to end. You got anything else? You just summarize.
No more already.
Thank you for the sharing. So let us rejoice with the good sharing by Miss Lee and Manyuan. Sadhu. Okay, now we will do the closing puja, sharing of merit, starting with the demons. Akasata Chiopumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Jaamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo idam meñatinam hotu sukhita hontu ñatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dampiko ibhina punyam kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the Winnie on Devi and Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.